Ellen is in Santa Barbara, out near you. I've just learned that I have a short lingual tongue frenulum. Do you know what that is? Apparently, this can have negative health consequences, including stress and anxiety, because it constricts the whole jaw and neck and probably affects yawning, too. See, I just read it. I started to yawn. Isn't that hilarious? Can you How is that possible, Adam? I started to yawn before I, when I saw the word, I started to yawn even before I said it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do a question, then we'll talk about that. Can you expound on this? Also, any non-surgical suggestions on how to lengthen the frenulum, F-R-E-N-U-L-U-M. So somehow she figured out she's got a short tongue frenulum.
Yep. And you answered the question by yawning.
Is that it?
Yawn and sticking out the tongue. Both put it up and try to touch the tip of your nose with it, and then go down and try to touch the bottom of your jaw. And then move it from side to side. As they have those eye exercises in the Bates method,
yeah, do, the
do
same.
It. Go to this corner, that corner, solid, and move the tongue around. You can get flexible enough. There are people flexible enough that they can put 8 curls in their tongue. Hmm. Not just make it U-shaped, but make U. I think 4 U's in it. So you exercise. It's called tongue yoga. Mick Jagger did pretty well with it.
So this would be something that she could do 2-3 times a day and just really get this whole thing straightened out. It's probably just all cramped up in there, why they think it's short, right? Maybe it's just not been used enough.
That's right. It worked really well for Gene Simmons.
Huh. Tongue yoga. So that's going to also strengthen Ellen's thyroid, too, you've told us, right?
Oh, you bet. You bet. The tongue is highly connected. You automatically stimulate the thyroid by sticking your tongue out, no matter how you stick it out. And it actually generates titanium in your body, which is the love molecule.
Ooh.
It's the only one that carbon dioxide will not suppress. It will suppress lithium, it will suppress all the others, not titanium.
What do you mean titanium's a love molecule? What do you mean?
Well, Sir Jagadish Chandra Bose proved that our metals are alive. And he proved that tin is a lot smarter than zinc. Now, present-day scientists don't know that. They go by what they have learned in their mainstream medicine. And if they read Chandra Bose, which when he presented his ideas to the British, they kicked him out of the Royal Science, whatever it was. And so he had to go back to India, and they cut off all his financing because they didn't want to let people know that metals are alive. Hmm. What Tesla got credit for, usually Bose did it beforehand. In fact, he invented the wireless way before Marconi did.
So when you're saying metals are alive, meaning, I guess everything's alive in a sense, right?
A zinc atom will be afraid. If you say you're going to kill it, it will be have the same fear that you will. And if you multiply those in your body, all of our enzymes are based on metals. That's why glyphosate is so bad, by the way, because it's boiler scaling remover.
Yeah, right. That's why.
And it activates all enzymes that have metals in, and all enzymes have metals in them. Simple as that.
So why did I start yawning just even seeing the word before I read it, before I spoke it?
That is empathy, and it connects us with the environment. So yawning has several mechanisms, and that's one of them is empathy. Automatically, when you see someone yawn, it's the best contagious disease going, because if you wish to make the world well, and this is a very experiment that needs to be carried out and has been carried out, if I yawn right now, someone in Des Moines, Iowa will be yawning too and not know why they yawn, because carbon dioxide carries programming like a lead pencil does, but at a distance. Much like electrical systems, I can talk to someone in New York. The prevailing theory is that I push one marble in a pipe and the other marble is affected instantaneously because it pushes all the marbles in a row. Hmm. That's the best they can do for electrical explanations, by the way. But it works in a quantum field. So if you yawn, when you yawn there, people who don't even know who you are yawning elsewhere in the world. Huh. And much of the tension in the world, as strange and kooky and woo-woo as this sounds, could heal the world if everybody just starts yawning.
Well, I think you're right. Let's do a major motion picture on yawning. You know, I think we should do that. I just love to yawn. Now, Adam, you have how many different blogs on yawning on One Radio Network that, and that they've been over the last 3 weeks, right, or so, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yep, I'm up to 13, so I thought I'd give people a little break and do something else, but I'll continue. It says to be continued on number 13, and it will be continued because I haven't even gotten into clearing traumas and weight loss, wow, which is very important, again, being that fat is, when you lose fat, where does it go? It's breathed out of your body as 86% carbon dioxide, and then the remaining 14% water. Some of it sweats out, some of it stays in, depending.
So Adam's blog is right at the top right hand of Run Radio Network. You can click on there and then kind of go work your way backwards and see read all of the blogs on yawning, and you can ask him questions on his little, he's all the time people are answering, and he interacts with you, and you answer questions, and it's really great fun. And I was supposed to read them this weekend that I didn't do. So, well, I forgot. I don't know.
It was a sunny, beautiful day. Well, what about that big storm you had Friday?
Oh, man, it was like, whoa. So I'm getting ready to do the show on open phones, 9:05. Everything was fine. And all of a sudden, it was like, holy cow. Man, it just blew through, and it just blew everything out. And I couldn't even go on the internet to leave a message. I couldn't even call Sharon to ask her to leave a message on, you know, to put the... I was as weird as sitting here in the dark all morning. We had a good time. Not really.
Well, that's when we figured out you were okay, because we looked at Facebook, and it was messages left there a half hour before the show, so we realized you were still alive.
Sharon says, what happened to him? Did he just leave his body? Yeah, it was really something. It was, we had no power, no phones for about 3 or 4 hours. Kind of good, really. Just looked at the inside. I looked at my navel. You know, it was great. Let's see. Good morning, Patrick. I'm trying to find the milk thistle in your store. Would you help me find it? Also, you said you purchased another item on the internet to use to make brown liver spots go away. Brown? No, I didn't do that. Maybe that was somebody else. I don't have
thistle. It will help. You know, thistle will help.
Thistle. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, that's how she probably made the connection. Yeah, people with liver spots, they can use the milk. Thistle will help get rid of the spots. I don't know if anything that you can do to put liver spots on topically. So I don't know where. And that wasn't me. It must have been one of my guests. Have you known anything that she can put to put liver spots on topically?
Gin or vodka.
Really?
But that only works if it's a newly formed age spot. It starts to grow down and get deeper, but it starts at the skin. A lot of people don't realize that the adrenal glands, the adrenal medulla, is in the skin. It's not where it's supposed to be.
So these liver spots that you see on people, what's really going on with those? Is it stagnation in the liver or...?
It's called yellow fat disease, and it's caused by estrogen, nitric oxide, serotonin, all the things that are supposed to be good for us, even endorphins and enkephalins. They're supposed to be good for us.
So it's caused by everything. So what do you do with that?
Science likes to confuse us. You know, Roger Williams at Rice University there proved that essential oils weren't essential. At the same time, George and Mildred Burr's research came out, making them essential, and their research has never been questioned, even though Roger Williams refuted it by proving that what's called essential acid, fatty acid deficiencies, are B vitamin deficiencies, B6 and B6. Of course, Roger Williams is famous for discovering and naming folic acid and then being involved in two of the other B vitamins, like B6. Uh-huh.
So to this, to Joe, we don't have all the stuff from Amazon in the store any longer because Amazon fell out of love with us. They broke up with us, and they won't let us do their thing anymore. So just go to Amazon on your own, and it's the Eclectic Institute is our faves, and it's just a really good milk this, so it also has that other thing in there. What is it, Adam? Similarian thing?
The unpronounceable one.
Yeah, that's also in there. So it's a good product. I think it's Eclectic Institute. Very, very affordable. And they're small caps, so you can just bomb down a bunch of them. And that's what I've been doing since April. And I'm going to do it another month. We're going to talk more about cleansing with Brandon Amalani tomorrow. You know what's interesting? Remember about 2 or 3 months ago, I told you I had like five of these little brown spots on the back of my hands, five of them. And you said, oh, that's really good. You only have five. Well, you know what? Today, in the bright sunlight, I only have three. So I lost two in a few months. So is that just cleaning up liver over time? Is that why the two more left?
Well, if you talk to a standard medical doctor, they will say...
No, I try not to do that. You know.
But they are liver spots. Definitely the liver has a lot to do with it. It's a master organ.
Okay. So my liver is getting better than if I lost two spots, huh?
The ancients called the lung meridian God, and they called the liver meridian Satan. But Satan has its uses, if you know how to control.
Yeah. I don't know what
the devil do means take care of your liver.
Take care. Yeah, you see some of these older
people. Live is devil spelled backwards, right? And live is evil spelled backwards. So we have to learn to read in Chinese.
I see some of these elderly folks, you know, at the store and stuff, and they got these little things all over their arms and, wow, their hands and all that. Curious.
Yep, a certain promoter of DHA has a lot of liver spots on his face.
Who's that?
Oh, I'm not going to mention it.
Okay, all right.
I'm in trouble enough already.
Okay, you're in trouble enough already. Are you and Adam dressed in red today? And if yes, would Adam please explain to any new listeners why and colors go best for each day of the week? Oh, that's good, because we have a lot of new listeners and they don't even know about the whole color thing and the week thing. Why don't you tell them about that?
Circa Septum Rhythms is the fancy name that circadian researchers call it. In other words, our immunity operates in 7-day cycles. They used to say for something to get chronic, now we go back into like a holistic. They said in like the Bernard Jensen camp that for something to go chronic, it takes 7 days. For something to be acute, it's 7 days. And once the 7-day record, the amount passes, it's much harder to get rid of something. That is essentially true. The modern look is Circa Septum Rhythms, where our immunity goes from 6 days to 8 days. If it comes in 5 days or less, people die. If it comes in 10 days, they die. But optimum immunity, super immunity, if you will, is 7 days. But you will see that diseases like, let's take tetanus. A dog bites you, you don't drop over dead. It takes a week before you know you have tetanus and are dying. The same with rabies, because those are diseases of our spleen or our own, which is why spleen is so important, as mentioned at the beginning of the show, because it handles our immunity and inflammatory problems. Now, rabies, that type of inflammation is a real problem. Tetanus is a real problem, but it takes a week. If a mouse is bitten by a rabid dog, it's a poison. He dies right away. The stomach is involved with that. So basically, by aligning your social week with your biological week, simply by wearing red on Mondays, orange on Tuesdays, yellow on Wednesdays, green on Thursdays, blue on Fridays, violet on Saturdays, and white on Sundays, you foster the 7-day rhythm called Circa Septum Rhythms.
And you can wear these anywhere, like... Girls want to have orange underwear on Tuesdays. That works.
It's better if it's visible to your own eyes, but that's one way of doing it. It's acceptable at least. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I have a friend of mine there that used to wear orange shoes, orange pants, orange shirt, orange hat regularly. You might remember Thad Hedges.
Oh yeah, I'll be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He would wear the whole thing. He was very strict about it. And even had it covering the windows of the house to be in certain places at certain times of the day. Very innovative.
I haven't seen him for a long time. He's still around, I think, in Austin, isn't he?
Still am friends with him on Facebook.
I need to check him out and talk to him, go see him. What is the complementary color, same meal, in clothing for each day of the week, i.e. on Monday, red would be best combined with another color? I think in his book he explains about combining colors, their opposite ones. Can Adam talk about that?
The complementary color isn't that important, but if you really want to do it and wear the complementary color, the complementary color is like if I look at the color red and then I look away, I'm going to see greenish, you know? And if I look at yellow, I'm going to see violet. You ever do that? You stare at a dot of a certain color, then look at the white ceiling and you see the opposite color. It's really a complementary color, and the two tend to go together. So you just wear the complementary color of whatever you're wearing in the week. So red would be green pants, a red shirt, green pants. Orange would be blue pants and yellow shirt and violet pants and so on. That gets a little extreme. It's just fine enough if you just use the shirt or blouse is enough to do it. But you can do it that way too.
Somebody else asked about color. Yeah. What do the colors beige or turquoise signify?
Well, a beige trauma is basically damned if you do, damned if you don't trauma. In other words, you're in a situation where...
kind of a catch-22 thing?
Yeah, that's the word. That's exactly what I'm looking for, the catch-22. And turquoise is kind of related. It's the origin of the sugar blues is actually comes from the turquoise blues. And it involves you're selected for something, or someone else is selected for something. You're just as qualified, and you can't figure out why they chose the other person instead of you. Sibling rivalry often it occurs in.
I heard some kind of Zen koan like that. It was like the master said, okay, tell me what this stick is. If you say it's real, I'll hit you. If you say it doesn't exist, I'll hit you. And what was the other one? It was like, if you take it away from me, I'll hit you. And so the only answer is you got to break it or something like that. I don't remember the whole thing, but
it's like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? I click my fingers together and automatically I'm doing it, right?
That's the sound of one hand clapping. Yeah. Patrick's going to be doing a show tomorrow on water. Previous to the show, can you tell us, in your opinion, how do we know if the body is dehydrated and how we can use the water to rehydrate if that's the case?
The simplest test that works for probably 95% of the people is check your urine. If it's straw colored, you've got enough liquid. If it's clear, you're taking too much liquid and you're turning into a jellyfish. Mm-hmm. If it's brown and smelly, you're dehydrated and you need more liquid in your body.
So you think that's pretty good barometer? In your opinion?
95% of people don't have to do any kind of other test for hydration. But, you know, there are exceptions to the rule and everything. So I'm sure some medical condition can slip through where the kidneys aren't working correctly and you get an incorrect reading and all that garbage is being recirculated throughout your body and all that's coming out is clear liquid. So in cases of severe kidney malfunction, then that test wouldn't work, obviously.
People also say, like what I'm doing now, if you take the back of your hand and just pinch some skin and pull it up, right, and let it go, it's got to go back, boom, just immediately. If it doesn't, you're dehydrated.
And also, you're aging. That's a polyunsaturated
thing. Oh, that's a PUFA thing, too, huh?
Yep. If your skin, in use, you pull it back and it goes snap like a rubber band. If you pull it up and it goes... that's aging.
I can remember a past show with Nadine, and somebody asked about a liver spot on their face, and she first thing she said was PUFAs. I remember that. So she's onto that, and that's funny. Yeah. You know Nadine, the living libations lady? PUFAs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She said PUFAs. So that's the best way. So how can we use water to rehydrate if that's the case, if we find kind of can it be used?
I don't drink it.
Yeah, but I know. If somebody had really dark urine, would they just slug down some water and that's it? Or is there any special thing you do?
Well, soup works, juice works, coffee works, those things. And, you know, there's a school of thought, coffee dehydrates you. Well, imagine this scenario. Someone's crawling off the desert and they have no fluids in their body and they say, water, water. And you say, here's some coffee. Oh, no, that's going to dehydrate me. I'm not going to take that.
that's right.
Well, if you have a beer, that is a different story. But soda pop, coffee, any other kind of fluid, they've done these tests over and over, and yet you still see people claiming that coffee dehydrates you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's still out there in the on the interweb that Al Gore invented. is apple cider vinegar with water and honey ever good to take? An email.
Yes, but not in the morning. Only midday and nighttime. And it can have certain advantages if you keep it to 2 teaspoons of honey, 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar in an 8-ounce glass of water and drink it at about room temperature to warmer. Actually, body temperature is ideal. Then it can be beneficial as a kind of a tonic for digestion. Not really good to drink while you're eating anything, but in between meals, it can be very helpful.
So it does, you think it helps with the digestion?
Yeah, in fact, here's a test. Which type of water makes you alkaline and which type makes you acidic? I mean, is distilled water, acidic water, alkaline water? Which one makes you alkaline? And the answer is, so we don't have any suspense, all of them. The hydration overrides the pH factor. And no matter if you drink a quart of water in 5 minutes, you will be alkaline. And it will take you 3 days to build up the acidic side and become uricocelic again. Because you become a fish. Fish don't use uric acid. They use ammonia. And so we go back into our, what is it, ontology, recapitulates, phylumatology. That's the old thing.
Remember that old line, I don't drink water, fish fornicate in it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it puts rust on pipe soup.
I don't drink water, fish fornicate in that stuff. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. That's funny. let's see. I'm going to get lost here. Lost in space.
I carry alcohol in my pocket to protect against snake bite. I carry a snake in the other pocket.
I carry a snake in the other pocket.
My birthday, by the way.
What's that?
He's born on my birthday.
Who's that?
W.C. Fields.
W.C.
I did a very poor imitation.
Yeah, very poor. That was good, though. I liked it. Lipofuscin. I know you two keep promising to do an entire show on this topic. Maybe after yawning right now, I wonder if Adam can dive deep into how to detox from lipofuscin instead of just a full detox. Okay, so this lady says she's got the lipofuscin. So how can she detox from that? Let's just do that one for the moment.
Well, you know, they have a, what is it called? Tofi, fat inside, thin outside. And many people have that syndrome. You can be fat, and if your liver's not fatty, you're perfectly healthy as a sumo wrestler. But when you get a fatty liver, and that's the main cause, and you can't get fatty liver from butter. It just does not happen. And it doesn't happen from oleic acid and olive oil either. It happens from PUFAs, both polyunsaturated omega-6s and omega-3s, specifically omega-3s. So really what I will post, the next blog I post, on the bottom in the comments section, I will put a minimized list, which will scare the pants off everybody because it eliminates about everything you eat in your diet. But the reason I put minimize is you can't eliminate these and you shouldn't even do it because even a tiny amount of omega-3s can be necessary. Just like nitric oxide should be avoided, but it serves a certain function. If I want to grow a muscle, I tie a tourniquet around my arm oxygen doesn't get delivered to my muscle, and it grows. That's how growth happens with nitric oxide, just like in photosynthesis. So these have a purpose, but carbon monoxide does the same thing. But I don't go to the health food store and say, can you please give me a cortisol or a carbon monoxide supplement, please? You get those from everyday living, usually, and protection from the environment. So I'm more like a sculptor. You eliminate things, and then everything works fine. You get a masterpiece. Instead of adding things and not knowing what we're doing, because our chemistry is in the Stone Age now. When chemists make you believe that this causes that, and then they talk about side effects, there are no side effects. Everything is an effect. They want to make you believe that side effects only happen under certain circumstances. All a drug does is multiple effects. There's no such thing as receptors, like an estrogen receptor. There's receptors for estrogen in every cell, whether it's trophoblast, soma, or a gamma cell. They all have receptors in them.
Okay.
And of course, there's no lipid bilayer either. So all of that chemistry is false. And basically just minimize nitric oxide, estrogen, serotonin, melatonin, enkephalins, and a list of things, carrageenan, all of those things. Some things we know, like mercury and cadmium and things like that. I will post the list under my next blog.
And then the lipo stuff will just go away.
If you eliminate the poisons, then the body has enough energy. And Nancy Turner Banks is exactly right. It's energy, which is élan vital. It means vital power or self-organization in an increasingly complex manner. Water is self-disorganization in an increasingly uncomplex manner, where we break down in the periodic table to the lower levels of the table instead of the higher. We're designed to go into the second period of the periodic table of the elements. The life is in the blood, and the blood occurs in the second and third levels, not in the fourth, fifth, and sixth, seventh levels of the periodic table. The periodic table is a chart of the chakras, but do yogis acknowledge this? No.
Lynn says, can you yawn a drop foot away? Adam once mentioned to use ghee, but ingested or topically? Dropped foot.
Both.
I dropped my foot one time. I just dropped it. I picked
it. You can yawn things away, yes, because the trauma goes away. And I found through body dowsing, if you find the actual cognitive shock that caused the problem, then things just resolve automatically without even putting anything in your mouth. So usually it's a double level. I have a cognitive shock, and it draws me toward a food that I'm attracted to because of that shock. And so both are usually in operation. And when you get rid of a shock, you suddenly can eat a different food or avoid another food. And of course, you'll just say, oh, it's an accident. I lost my appetite for that. Well, usually losing the appetite for something is either a trauma or the removal of a trauma, depending on if the food's damaging for us or not.
888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We're going to do this.
Daniel Vitalis, the colostrum we offer is from moo cows. Why is it good for people?
There's a sort of wonder of nature in that there's this relationship between cows and people where cows' colostrum is actually extremely bioactive in human beings. We've known that for 8,000 years. And there are over 4,000 medical studies confirming that when human beings consume cow colostrum, a similar thing happens in their body, starts to format their immune system. It seems to be due to substances that are found in colostrum that are called immune factors, and also this really amazing substance called transfer factor, which somehow transfers the immunity over from the cow to human beings. The important thing to remember is that we're living in an era where there's more people alive today with dysfunctional immune systems than ever before. And colostrum gives us the ability to actually restructure, rebuild, and reformat our immune systems so we can really thrive in our modern world today.
Thriving, yes, indeed. We like that. The colostrum is now in the 1 and 2 kilo bags as well, or you can get capsules or a smaller size. Just click an order. right on the front page, any survival link on oneradionetwork.com.
Daniel Vitalis, your pine pollen has been around for many years and really getting some good results with testosterone building for guys. How does it work?
Well, it works by actually containing phytotestosterone. It's very similar to when people use a bioidentical testosterone, except it's in a plant form and it's readily usable by the body. So many people have turned to bioidentical testosterone without looking to nature to see what options are out there. Pine pollen contains not only testosterone, but it's also got DHEA and a few other anabolic hormones as well. So if somebody's looking to increase the testosterone in their body and looking to have more anabolic function, then pine pollen's a really good alternative to some of the pharmaceutical therapies people have been turning to.
Hence. Yeah, I have a metabolic function. So I love the pine pollen. I do a little shot every morning, have for years, and I just think it's a great, great product. A superfood pine pollen from Daniel Vitalis. If y'all haven't tried, if y'all haven't tried some of the aloe from Stockton Aloe One, it's right on the front page there. You can click on it, get yourself some aloe. It comes in frozen. And I love that product. Had a little shot of it again this morning. I'm supposed to do it at night, but I forgot. It's really, really a great product. Just the pulp, and have a lot of fun with that. Go on our website if you'd like to look at some of the things that Chen Blossom has. If you're interested in ginseng or Hushu Wu or Shaga Rishi. Some really nice products, Shizandra, goji berries. They have the gold noni honey from Hawaii, which is really cool. The Hishi Wu, I mentioned that one. Let's see, I'm walking through the turmeric formula, natural pain relief thing. Our cough syrup, umeboshi paste. They got really cool stuff. This black, wild black sesame butter. Man, it's really wonderful, wonderful. Adapt the medicinal mushroom formula. Another reishi mushroom extract from Shen Blossom. All in Myron Glass, and you can read, and Brandon will be here tomorrow. The lengths that he goes through to make this these products, like, really, really fun and productive, and they work. And they're great. Just top of the line. Shen Blossom, oneradionetwork.com. Just click an order and just have some fun. Oh, man.
Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
To talk to Patrick, call 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
I think we're having a Frank Sinatra film festival this morning. Let's know how that happened.
How did he meet Sammy Davis Jr.? Sammy Davis Jr. did such a good imitation of Sinatra that Sinatra instantly fell in love with the guy.
Is that the story? I'll be darned.
He got invited backstage, and then he did an imitation of Frank, and Frank said, "Wow, I like this guy." And so he imitated him as part of the act all the time. And Sammy Davis Jr. actually got criticized because he sang like Sinatra all the time. If you look at his old videos there, because he admired Frank Sinatra so much for doing so much for his career.
What a voice Sammy Davis has. Wow. I downloaded Sammy Davis's junior version of Mr. Bojangles that I heard on a TV show. And wow, I'd never heard that before. So I'm going to play that on Open Phones this week. It's really beautiful. Mr. Bojangles. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing dancer, too.
Oh, man, just out of control. I had the honor to meet him in New Orleans when he played at the Blue Room at the Fairmont Hotel in 1978. And so I got to interview all the people, you know, that performed at the Blue Room at the Fairmont. And most of the people came to the studio, right, for the interview. But he was a big star, you know. So I went to him. So I had to go to his hotel room, you know, the tape recorder. Had to. When he answered the door, I walked in. He was the tiniest person I've ever seen. Just tiny. I mean, really tiny. He must have weighed 100 pounds or something like that.
You know, I was 2 feet away from him once,
yeah,
waiting for a light to change on Hollywood Boulevard.
Really?
But he didn't know who I was. I just happened to say, wow, that's Sammy Davis Jr. standing next to me.
Yeah, he was a very sweet man, very wonderful guy. And what a voice. That voice comes out of, you know,
yeah,
little guy like that. Yeah, very talented. Did
you ever see him do the fast draw?
The what? Yeah.
The
oh, yeah, yeah, the fast draw with the holster gun. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mark says, I have done a little bit of healing yoga, and I made it a point to focus on my breathing as a beginner since I couldn't do all the poses. During the Shavasana meditation at the end of class, I felt like I was falling asleep and I was getting short dreams, and I felt like I was outside of my body, and then I would wake up and realize that I was still at yoga class. At one point, I felt like I was home with my family. Another time, I thought I heard someone screaming and woke me up out of this state of mind. The other people said that they could hear my breathing. They know I was in Shavasana. What do you think this all means?
All is one.
All is one.
Yeah. So there's two states of delta. One is the moving state, and that's called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where you can actually walk around in the delta state, and there's no breakdown in that state. The other is Sarvikalpa Samadhi, where you can't move. You're paralyzed. It first happened to me many times. We're in that delta sleep. If you wake up during it, you'll be totally paralyzed. The first time it happened to me, it freaked me out. I woke up and I was totally paralyzed, thought I had polio or something. Then I realized I could wiggle my toe, and then eventually I got over it. Then I went to Texas Institute of Reflex Science, and synchronistically, Adano explained the state. So when it happened to me a second time, I didn't sweat it. I kind of enjoyed it, to be totally paralyzed. But only later did he give me the experience of walking in a totally paralyzed state, like the yogis can do, where the environment moves them. They don't move themselves from within. And of course, it's really not true that we move ourselves anyway. We build an illusion called Maya, the illusion of discernment. And then we think that we're moving ourselves instead of God is moving us.
Mm-hmm.
God, which is us, because we can't become God because God already became us.
That's right.
Beat us to the pump.
And we exist because God loves us, and that's what we're made out of, the God stuff.
Amen.
That's right. That's what we're made out of. And Mark, you know, so what you've done, I think, is a little soul traveling, and you can hear different sounds. There's different sounds on different levels, you know, different planes, and so you're really there as soul while your little body's still there. And yeah, I would keep exploring that, and you learn a lot, you see a lot, and no telling where you end up. I mean, you know, do some exploring. Sounds like you're on the right track, whatever you're doing. Hi, morning guys. Please ask Adam when to drink gelatin. Oh, gelatin. Really noticing a difference for that creepy skin on my upper arms. Okay, so she's taking gelatin. I think most gelatin is from the moo cows. I know the Great Lakes is. So that would that be a midday, because it's a meat thing?
Midday is a good time to get it. That's a good way to get your glycine, which is much better in the form of gelatin than it is popping a pill.
Yeah,
Yeah. And it's good. Can't say anything. I'm eating low on the food chain, but if I was eating meat these days, I would definitely be eating gelatin. I would be eating like chicken feet and stuff to get it too. That would be nighttime, by the way.
We have a farmer's market fellow that has really, really nice tended pigs that they actually, when they feed them, they give them can you imagine, organic feed, non-GMO, and non-soy feed for their pigs. I mean, they really take care of their pigs. And because of Dr. Jennifer Daniels and the collagen stuff, she's a big fan of, and I found some ham hocks, and I made some broth with that. And oh, man, that was really good. That's a great form of gelatin, isn't it? Ham hocks?
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's right. Jennifer Daniels talked about it last show.
Yeah. Pat writes in, I've recently taken some type of stem cell type remedies from my Wicket RA and have noticed a vast increase of cracking in all of my locked joints. My pain is still off the charts, though, but most would consider this a positive sign. Love you guys both. What do you think, Adam? So I don't know what she did exactly. Stem cell type remedies for her rheumatoid arthritis. I don't know what that is exactly.
Well,
what do you think? Do you think something's moving if she's increased a cracking thing? What does a cracking mean in the locked joints?
It means there's more nitrogen in the joints is all that means. It doesn't mean much of anything. Chiropractors can adjust you and not move a nerve at all by doing that. It's, you ever hear when you pop a cork, if I pull my finger now and it adjusts and makes that noise, it's just nitrogen working. The best way to get stem cells, including omnipotent and totipotent stem cells, is to go into a delta brainwave state, a hibernation state, and meditate and generate her own. Why did we need external
make
ones?
Make your own, man. How can she learn how to do that? Where on your website would she learn how to do the Delta thing?
Let's see. I think you can actually, I have books on that in the Butterflies Need No Taxidermist, and she can get a lot of information with the over 1,000 blog entries I have on One Radio Network, too.
Okay, just put in Delta State on our search engine, but that's the best way to make your own. But her question was more specific. She's doing these stem cell remedies. Does the cracking in the joints mean anything positive, negative, or neutral with this possible remedy thing in her RA?
It means nothing by itself.
Okay, it means nothing.
And also, she doesn't say what the remedies are.
Yeah, so we don't know. Yeah.
Basically, we're talking about vague ideas here. If we knew what they were, I could give more of an idea of it. Again, just because I pop a joint doesn't mean anything moves, but a lot of times it does. You can get nerves to clear by that nitrogen popping sound. We're full of nitrogen gas, and when joints pop, that's what you're hearing is nitrogen and oxygen.
It's like let's blow this popsicle stand, right? When the joint, let's blow this joint.
And that's why yawning is so powerful, because it moves these gas pressures that scientists, you know, they think a yawn is rude, and actually it's the best therapy you can recommend. If anyone has a disease and they yawn, they can actually yawn their disease completely away. If they add colors through it, you know, your black, your gray, your brown, your red, your orange, your yellow, your green, your blue, your indigo, your violet, and your white, then you even supercharge the yawn.
Oh, so say you're yawning and stretching at the same time, you would imagine or work through the colors at the same time, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, that one.
Yawning is the fourth chakra, and colors are the third chakra, and carbon dioxide doesn't exist at the second chakra because it sublimates directly from precipitate matter to gas. There is no liquid state of carbon dioxide.
I knew that. what is Adam's thoughts on enzymes like ascorbate for tummy inflammation, per your chiropractor lady on the show the other day, a sorbate for tummy inflammation. I don't know, what is a sorbate? What does that mean, a sorbate?
I get it from food. It's loaded with enzymes, and I try to avoid glyphosate because it blocks those, because without the metals, the enzymes are useless.
More tummy inflammation, huh?
Yeah, and imagine a person takes an enzyme, and then they drink a glass of water, and it totally neutralizes bromelain and papaya. All those enzymes are just going to the waste as soon as you take a liquid with a meal. So I don't think too much of enzymes unless you know how to take them. And better enzymes exist in your food than any place else, especially when you get them raw, and sometimes in some cooked foods. And where Kelly made a mistake in his interpretation of Beard therapy, Beard would have been totally against his therapy because he knew you had to inject the enzymes with a hypodermic needle, that all you did when you swallowed the enzymes is they'd go into the stomach and be digested, despite what both Gonzalez and Kelly claimed, because they do.
Constantine claims that if you do these enzymes away from food or something, that they're actually going to eat up the good stuff out of the tummy. He may be right. I don't know.
I tend to agree with that kind of thing.
Do you?
Basically, I think it's relatively harmless, but I think it's also isn't helping much.
Yeah, I don't think it does either.
Ways more bang for your buck elsewhere.
Yeah, we've just went down so many black holes in the last 20, 30 years of natural health, haven't we, with stuff that people say, you know, and we're just learning. We're learning, aren't we?
It's a good way to get those enzymes. And if I didn't say that, Vibrant Gal would hit me on the head here.
What's that? You cut out when you said what?
Aloe is a really good source of enzymes.
Yeah, baby.
Yep.
So, hi, Patrick and Adam. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Okay.
I'm done.
How would it be to have black cumin with the rice? Oh, like if you're going to do the rice diet Patrick's talking about, how would it do to do the black cumin oil? Of course, you would do Andreas, is what he's saying. That seems like that would be very healing. What do you think?
Midday, sure.
Yeah. Put the black cumin on the rice, yeah.
You bet.
Because that heals. What kind of stuff does the black cumin heal?
It's got a type of vitamin K in it that is very beneficial for the body.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's a good combination.
Mm-hmm. So for Nancy, who's got the enzyme things and the inflammation in the stomach, like most Americans do, try the rice thing for 3, 4, 5 days. See if it doesn't feel better. I mean, you got nothing to lose. Just have some rice. It's good. Just get a long grain organic rice, have a party.
Yep. And eat small meals and you'll get more enzymes.
Get small meals, yeah. But you say that the white rice with no fiber, which Kay recommends, that gets digested pretty quickly because it's just starch, right?
Just instantaneously. And it's not the starch.
It's not.
All starches digest quickly, but there's no dietary fiber in it.
Oh, there's zero fiber, right. There's zero fiber.
Zero fiber, so it goes right through, and it's the best thing. You don't have a residue to deal with, and so it doesn't turn on the propulsion in the intestines, either forward or backward. Vomiting, it just propulses in the opposite direction. There's even such a thing as fecal vomiting, or it just goes through the other way. And food going through too fast is just as much a problem as food going too slow.
And then if we're doing some proteins and eating again before these proteins digest it, you know, that's what I think is also a key thing to why so many people have inflammation. There's just too much acid going on in that thing, you know, and making irritated stomach lining.
Yeah, it was known 200 years ago that you could digest your food just as easily by poking the food through a hole into the stomach without any connection with the saliva at all.
Really?
So the saliva is very important for other reasons, but not for the digestion of food. It's important for consciousness.
Oh, I thought the saliva was, it's a chewing though, is good for food, right?
Yeah, but you break it down, because if I swallow chunks of carrot, it won't digest at all. Now, Ray Pete uses that to advantage. He makes them really, really thin pieces, because otherwise it would just stay in the in the stomach and ferment. And the little pieces at least will be started and propelled out through the pyloric valve into the intestines, and then they will get rid of endotoxins. Huh. But if you take chunks of carrot, it doesn't digest. And if you take carrot juice, it can cause a problem, but not for most people. Mm-hmm. The people that turn yellow from it, they have a problem.
I'm really
Turn yellow, drink all the carrot juice you want.
I'm really fascinated by, I remember in the 70s, we would do the carrot juice in the 80s, 70s, and the early 80s, so much of it, our hands would turn orange. It's crazy.
And that shows bad liver function.
It was that probably what it was? Well, yeah, we were just coming off of 20 years of McDonald's, you know, what can I say? We were just getting into health at that point, you know, because who knows what we've been eating for the last 20 years.
Yeah, look what McDonald's has done to Okinawa. They went from number one in blue zone to like about number 24 now and headed downward.
No kidding, yeah.
Just a couple of years of McDonald's.
So you get orange hands with carrot juice. That meant when we did that when we were hippie kids starting out with all this carrot juice, it meant that the liver just couldn't deal with all the carotenoids or whatever they are.
One of the tests, too, if a person has a healthy liver, if they can drink a quart of coffee and not have a reaction. But you have to be really careful with that test, which is done in some countries, because they don't factor in that some people think caffeine is bad, so their mind makes it bad, and
right.
It's not the liver at all.
Yeah.
You have to be careful.
Yeah. If you think it's bad, believe me, it's going to be bad.
It's bad, yeah.
If you think it's bad, it's going to be bad. Okay. Yeah, I think we've got that one. This is let's see. Oh. I can't even understand this one. How about, does Adam have any comment on the info promoted by watercures.org? Basically, they recommend drinking servings of water several times a day rather than sipping continuously and consuming some salt before each serving. Water cures, yeah.
I don't think much of it because it breaks you down by making you ammonio-celiac, and that is not an advantage to our bodies. And by the way, to find out what I'm talking about, go to page 596 and 597 of Ravisi's textbook, which is on that crazy pharmacist Steve Mitchell site. And all you have to do is put in Ravisi textbook, and you'll find it. Otherwise, the book, and I recommend for people who want to know anything about cancer, that crazy pharmacist has put that book up with a search function and everything. And the book is called Research in Physiopathology as Basis of Guided Chemotherapy with Special Application to Cancer. Simpler put, Ravisi textbook, pop, you're right on it.
He also sent along something else from watercures.org, an enhanced version of the water cure, dissolving salts in the mouth each time you consume water, dramatically improved vision. Chlorophyll was added to the water, and Brazil nuts for selenium and honey were also taken. And when honey is taken with other foods, hydrochloric acid is released in the stomach.
Now, here's a question. Okay. What is liquid chlorophyll that is sold in the health food store, since chlorophyll cannot exist in a liquid condition? What is that stuff you're drinking when you buy that?
I don't know.
Women take it for the magnesium, and actually it's lobster blood and crab blood and oyster blood disguised as chlorophyll, because that can exist in solution. Otherwise, you couldn't have blood fluid. The chlorophyll doesn't do that in a plant.
Is that good for you to drink that stuff?
Strangely enough, if you lack copper, yes, because copper is, what it is really sodium copper rather than sodium magnesium.
Right.
But women are taking it for the magnesium. They're making a sad mistake. You better go eat some green vegetables instead. But if you are short on copper and want the synthetic version, because it's synthetic lobster blood, then you can get it from that. And copper can be helpful for pregnancy. So all in all, it's not a really bad thing if you take it.
I don't know. If I was going to do lobster blood, I'd want the real thing, not synthetic.
That's what I would think, because you do get copper when you eat the anytime you eat the blood of oysters and things like that. They use cooperglobin or hemocyan as their blood, and there are some creatures that even use vanadium as the metal. You'll notice all of those metals appear on the fourth level of the periodic table of the elements. Anything that makes solid blood is on that level, and anything that's in the serum is on the level above it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple, and yet they don't teach you that in chemistry class. I got a D minus in chemistry, by the way.
Well, you know what Occam's razor is? Generally,
yep.
What is it? Generally, the most easiest and obvious solution to a problem is true.
Yeah. So, what, I think they put it one time, when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras.
Occam's razor, yeah.
In Nevada.
Hi, Patrick. Can you please ask Adam, has Adam studied the work of Walter Russell's theory of the elements relating to colors and the elements' relationship to the musical octaves? For example, the spectrum of hydrogen is preponderantly red. The spectrum of iron is predominantly orange-yellow.
Yes, I have, and yeah. It's in the work of Dinshaw Gaudiali, only you can take it further. If you take the entire Fraunhofer lines and get the inverse of it, you will have much better effect than either Walter Russell or Dinshaw Gaudiali.
Hmm.
Much, but no one's doing it. And that would be the end of all disease, pretty much, if someone would start doing inverse Fraunhofer lines, emitting and receiving lines, and you just inverse them. So cancer, you find out what kind of cancer it is, you get the exact line, you match substances, like a jigsaw puzzle, put it together, neutralize, just like a salt from an acid and an alkaline.
Hmm. Also, John, one of my teachers, Paul Twitchell, writes about what you're talking about in a, I think, a 1960 book, 65, 60, maybe. And I copied a page, and remember I sent it to you one time, The Flute of God. And he's got this whole, you know, harmonics and the metals and the colors and all mapped out there. I don't know where he got that stuff, on the inner planes. And The Flute of God, it's a great book, great book. Let's see. Okay, Lynn is drooling at night. Oh, why do some produce more saliva at night?
That's good.
That's but good. Actually, that's what you want. That's what Dr. Ellie says. That's how you remineralize your teeth, right?
That's right.
Right, right.
Yeah, for most people. Now, some people can have saliva that breaks themselves down, but mostly it helps if you're eating the right diet. Then the saliva is very beneficial for you, and it keeps the acidity in the stomach down during the night. Drooling, by the way, has a lot to do with our original silica-based beginnings. Because the first chakra involves carbon, the second one involves silica, the third one involves sulfur, and the fourth one involves methane. And those are built into our body as chakric levels from various sources.
Also, Lynn, you just put a little piece of tape over your mouth and keep all the saliva in there and you won't drool.
That's one way to do
it. That's one way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, the Butenko method, he copied it from George Catlin, who got it from the Indians in about before the Civil War.
The Indians would tape their mouth shut?
Yeah, you can read it in George Catlin's book from back right after the Civil War. He was writing about it. He lived among the Indians and noticed that they all deliberately wouldn't even open the mouth and talk as little as possible. And Swami Nitty Gritty validated that. Every time you talk, you lose minerals. You actually lose trace minerals from your body. So it's good to have silence during the day. Now, you're going to talk so you can rebuild those minerals, but silence is what rebuilds them better than trying to put them in artificially, because those minerals have input, output, speeds, and acceleration. So basically, we can live on one atom of calcium if a yogi knows how to do it.
But
Nadi Bhavananda, look at Nadi Bhavananda could sing through the top of his skull and through his tailbone. And I'm not talking about through his anus like Japanese performers. They actually sing through their anus by controlling farts, the gases in farts. I'm talking about, I met Nadi Barbanada and he could sing through his tailbone.
That's great. It's kind of like politicians talk through that part of their anatomy, so it's close, right? Yeah,
that's the real name, how the Windy City got its name, by the way. It's not the wind.
That's right. When I visited the Paleo Conference a couple of weeks ago to visit with Phil, the sauna man, and hung out at his booth for a while, there's some clever little thing that I'm going to talk about it a little bit on Friday's Open Phones, that these people, the Butico, some kind of fans of Buteyko, they created this beautiful little thing that you could use a different one every night, and you peel it, and it's the exact shape of your lips to keep your mouth closed. And it's a beautiful, very, very clever system, and it's easy to pull off and on, and you don't have to put all over your face with a piece of tape. It's really cool. He gave me some samples, and I've been playing with it, and it's real fun. It's just good to breathe through your nose, and I think that if you do it more, you'll just train your body to do. That's my theory.
Well, as people get demented, look what happens. Their jaw drops.
Yeah, their jaw drops. That's right.
It's a sign of retardation. You see a person with open mouth, and right away, go walking down the street and see how many people have their dropped jaws. And it's not that they're retarded, but they're adding to retardation by doing that. They're potentiating yellow fat disease and other diseases by walking around with their mouth open.
That's why we call them the mouth-breathing Anunnaki.
They do, you bet.
The mouth-breathing Anunnaki. Okay, so if you get a chance, listen to Constantine tomorrow on the water thing, and if you come up with any really good questions or comments for him, just throw them in, and I'll throw them out there, because I want to really try to understand this more and where he's coming from with this, and I know you're here in you and he are on the same kind of page, but anything at all, if you'd like to throw it in there, I'll use all the ammo I can get. Oh, let's do this call before we go. Good morning. Who's this on the phone? Hello?
Yes, this is Roger.
Hello, Roger. You're on the air with Adam Bergstrom. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, sir. I have a kidney function. That's at 30%.
Yeah? Wow.
And I need to know, you know, what foods I can eat to help improve them.
Do you know how your kidney got to just 30%, Roger?
Some of it was dehydration, and some of it was diabetes.
Uh-huh. Okay. You got some foods that Roger could start playing around with, Adam? Less of this, more of that?
You know, giving in general, because all I can do is give general information.
Right.
Basically, kidney function has a lot to do with thyroid function.
Okay.
And PUPAs and HUPAs and things like that interfere with it. One thing, when a person can't get the proper T3 and T4 balance, is to simply drink orange juice between 9 and 11 o'clock. That automatically starts to increase kidney function as well as liver function and other things.
Orange juice, so 9 to 11 in the morning. Roger, have you ever had your whole thyroid panel done to check your thyroid function?
I don't think so, no, sir.
Mm-hmm. Adam said, Go ahead, Roger. Your talk. Go ahead.
I will say that I just came back from the doctor, and he told me some things about my lab work, but he didn't mention thyroid, but it might have been checked, you know.
Well,
I'll make sure that I get that done.
Yeah, you might want to, if you're interested in doing that, email me at, you know, my email address, patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
Wait a minute, let me write this.
Okay.
Hey, Patrick.
Patrick@radio1.com. @oneradionetwork.com. onradionetwork.com. And I will send you the things that you should have done if you're going to get your thyroid checked. There's three or four. Most of the docs don't really know the good ones to get. But I can send you, after years of talking to people around the world about this, the ones to test. So, Adam, you think if he's got poor thyroid function, either lower or higher, that could be a key to the kidney? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Broda Barnes put it best on thyroid tests. His test is more accurate because the tests that are available in the lab are completely accurate, but the upper and lower levels are incorrect. Because at one time...
No, I understand. Yeah, we understand. Yeah. The parameters are just not right. Right, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. 45% of Americans have low thyroid, not the 5% that the medical profession wants to tell us. So definitely thyroid is one of the involved. And diabetes is always involved with thyroid.
Yeah.
But doctors don't tell you that. It's always 99% you have a... what's called a thyroid adrenal pancreatic axis, they call it. And it's very important for health. That's why one of the things for kidney function is, what is the third kidney? It's the skin. So when you go outside in the sun, you detoxify your cholesterol, because your adrenal glands, the medulla for adrenaline, is actually in the skin, as General Electric scientists knew back in the 1920s, and went into.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think we're gonna go off here. Let's see.
There's lots of things to do naturally.
Yeah. Let's see.
And I've written plenty of blogs. You can go to One Radio Network.
Well, why don't you try this rather than getting a test? I think the Broda Barnes thing that he's talking about is pretty accurate, isn't it, Adam? Where you can do your first morning temperature, and it wants to be right at, the 98.6. Is that correct?
Only just leave it longer, because if a person has extra weight, then it may take an hour to get an accurate temperature reading. That's often not mentioned.
Wow. So why don't you start taking your temperature?
I am overweight.
Oh, you're overweight. Okay. Why don't you start taking start taking your temperature in the morning first thing, and just kind of leave it in there a little bit if you're overweight, and start to see if you're not, you want to be around 98.6, just sitting there at the table. And if that's low and you can't get that up there, that might be a sign that your thyroid is not really functioning. Then maybe you could do some tests.
For optimum digestion, you want 99 degrees exactly, and you want 100 degrees in the stomach. 99 degrees orally, 100 degrees in the stomach. And that way you make minimum lactic acid and all the chemicals that cause problems.
Something else, Roger?
Is it that a man in the stomach?
Well, don't worry about that. 99, he said the 99 degrees is the most optimum to digest your food. So you want to make sure your body temperature.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to make sure your body temperature is warm. You know.
And the only way to do that, if you take a 10-minute walk before eating, you'll raise your oral temperature to 99 degrees, and it'll go down. So you, after your walk, they used to even talk about a postprandial walk. But a preprandial one, ideally for digestion, you take a little walk beforehand, even 10 minutes, and you take a little walk after, and then you get maximum digestion out of that.
That might help you, Roger, to walk a little bit before you eat and after you eat. That would help. Have you been working on your diabetes?
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. I have. I've been eating a lot of green vegetables.
Okay, good.
And I haven't been eating many meats, things like that. And I went to the doctor this morning, and he said my lab had really improved a whole lot. And I got one more question for you. What about watermelon added to the diet? Watermelon seeds and things like that to help with the kidney?
Yes. You take a watermelon and you put it in a juicer and grind the whole thing up and put it through several times, and don't eat it with anything else. Eat it at urinary bladder time between 3 and the 5 in the afternoon, and it's an excellent therapy for a variety of things.
Including the kidneys?
Yeah, it was definitely good for the kidneys.
So are you saying the rind, the seeds, and the fruit, everything?
Make sure it's organic if you do that.
In general, are you saying they're just the fruit and the seeds?
Yep. If you can get organic, which is ideal, the rind has important things in it too, just like the seed does. So you do the whole things. Back at Adano's Texas Institute of Reflexology, we used to put the melon through over and over and over again, and it was like a creamy drink that was really good for you. But if you can't get organic, then certainly don't do the skin or
just,
the rind.
Just do the fruit. Yeah, Roger, yes. If you can't get an organic watermelon, just do the fruit and the seeds, and you can put it in a, you know, kind of a blender thing and just kind of mix them all up, because the seeds are good, right, Adam?
Yep. If they're indulged as a therapy at that time. Otherwise, they have polyunsaturated fatty acids that can cause problems, but when you take them at that time, it synchronizes with how the bladder works. Look at what the bladder is. It's a big watermelon and a big cantaloupe, basically. All of those melons are good. The rule is eat them alone or leave them alone. And so eat them by themselves at that time. They're excellent therapy.
Hope this helps, Roger. Get some. Did you get a few ideas here this morning?
Potato juice?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Great. I did get some things to try.
Okay, well, good. Thanks. Let us know how you're doing. Thank you. Oh, boy. 30%. Wow.
Yeah, this will be up quite a bit. I know someone personally who had 1% liver function. They were on the transplant list. And by getting rid of a cognitive shock, their liver turned back on again without doing anything.
So, Adam, the Broda Barnes thing says 97.6 because they do it under the arm. And that's 1 degree lower than the mouth, right?
So yeah, you get a little lower.
Yeah, you could just do it in the mouth and try to be 98.6. If you are lower than that, is that an indication ongoing that you do need some boosties in your thyroids or not?
Yeah, the fire isn't working well enough. Now, right. In a hibernation state, that's a different story, but in states of
it should be 98, normal, yeah. Yeah,
that should be.
So that affects digestion if your body temperature is not up there.
Dramatically.
Yeah. You see, that could have been a reason too that I'm just now making this connection where I've had this digestion thing for a while because my temperature has never been close to that.
Well, the amazing thing is that we can live without a pituitary gland, but we can't live without a thyroid.
Well,
so it's a real master.
Yeah. Because, you know, yeah, so I'm going to really kind of figure this out a little bit. I may just try a little bit of the piggy. They get, you know, you get that pure little piggy thyroid. I might try a little bit of that just to clunk it up a notch just to see if,
People go in search to India for fifth-level masters. Well, the fifth-level master in the body is the thyroid gland.
It's the thyroid gland, yeah. You got to keep that baby happy. Well, you know, it's always something here, isn't it? Well, that's interesting information. So if you have a low body temperature, it's hard to really get the digestion happening as well as it could be or should be, whatever the term is.
Unless you're hibernating, then you can drop 10
degrees.
Well,
yeah, but nobody's hibernating. Nobody's hibernating. Well.
But remember, hibernation is not sleep. Bears have to wake up to sleep in between their hibernations, as animals do, because hibernation and sleep are two very different things. And hibernation in the human body is controlled by the spleen and the pancreas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've just had just quite enough fun for one day, Adam Bergstrom. I think we'll just going to move on here. Thanks a lot. What are you guys going to do today? Anything just like really out of this world?
Well, Vibrant Gal just finished her yoga, so I guess we'll eat breakfast and take the trash out and do some of those things and write some more blogs and things.
What are you going to have for breakfast?
We're going to have, let's see, in season right now, we have these dates now. If you ever want to taste the best date in the world, Barhi dates. We bought an entire case of it, and we're busy eating it. And then we eat other fruit like chirimoya, things like that. That's out of season right now. We're kind of in between, waiting for the peaches season and all the good things. And so apples, dates. And we're having cashews and almonds and pistachios and walnuts and pecans and cabala and tonic, of course.
Wow, man, you're just gonna party down there, man.
You bet. Just a few of it. Like we have one walnut and one pecan and three cashews and four pistachios, one for each eye.
Yeah, yeah. All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Well, we love you and our love to Vibrant Gal, and we'll see you soon. And thanks for all your work on the blog. People really love it, and it's great. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Patrick. Bright sun upon you, and until next month.
And may the blessings be. Adam Bergstrom, Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition, Sunsync Nutrition, and also solartiming.com. Sunsync is a $99 deal for the rest of your life, even if you live to 148, which you probably will if you read it. And then the other one is totally free too. So sign up for Adam and support his lavish lifestyle there in Montecito with all the movie stars. I love you all very much. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to have a good show, do a little spring kind of tonic cleaning thing and liver. We'll talk with Brandon Amalani, learn more about his great products at Shen Blossom, and also Konstantin Manastrisky. And he says, most people are just drinking too much water. Really? That'll blow a few circuits, I think. And we appreciate your ongoing support, Doodle and I, and appreciate you when you want to look at some things to improve your health. You can check out our sauna and our rebounder and all the different people we promote, and everybody that we promote are folks that we know and love and have a relationship with for many years, whether it be the Sulfur or the Daniel Vitalis or Thrival site, Shen Blossom. Now he's got the whole Blue Shield thing, and we're working with Michael Haley on the aloe that we know. We know the source of all of these products. We just do. Living Libations, of course, and Nadine, great stuff. One World Way, we know Stephen Hewer, and he's been selling that forever and a day. And just good people who are doing some cool things. Phil Thomas and the Edgar Casey, the iodine, and all the great things that he has. We have them in our store. So we got a lot of cool things in our store. We're putting more, but so please support our advertisers if you need stuff. And if you don't need stuff, don't worry about it. Just listen.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.